Matthew chapter 5. I'll read one verse tonight. It says in the New Living Translation, which I'm reading out of, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight, God. Thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we have a place to come to worship you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit, Holy Spirit, that we've already felt here tonight, Lord, and moving in the lives of your people, Lord. Father, we ask this right now, Lord, that you'll take a call off the altar, Lord. Touch my lips of clay, Lord. I pray for your anointing, God. Father, we know that your anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. I pray that I would get out of the way, Lord, and I'd just be an empty vessel for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I've got a little graphic up there. How many's ever seen that before? Raise your hand. The salt life, or salt life. Chances are someone tonight has seen that, and you admitted that tonight, that you, as you raised your hand, that you've seen that logo. Maybe you've seen it on, maybe you even have it on the back of your car, truck, whatever. But if you don't, chances are tonight on your way home, you're going to see one of those stickers, bumper stickers or window stickers. Amen? If you visit the beach and you went anywhere on the beach and in any of the shops that are on the beach, they even have a section for this logo for this brand, the Salt Life. And it's a style that I could actually adapt to. It's a brand that represents the beach. When you see that logo, you think of the beach. Amen? Yes. It's okay. You can say amen. That's all right. You think about fishing. You think about the ocean. You think about a laid-back lifestyle. A lifestyle that I could adapt to really easy. I mean, Brother Chris, I love the mountains. I love the mountains, and I've been trying to go to the mountains on vacation, but so far I'm 0 for 6. And my batting average is not very good. But every time I go to the beach, and even though I like to go to the mountains, when I get to the beach and I get out there in the ocean and the sand and that lifestyle, suddenly I think, man, I could adapt to this lifestyle. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful just to have perfect temperature all year long, it seems like. I mean, I could take the top off of my Jeep and the doors off my Jeep for most of the year and just drive around. It would be awesome. Here, I can't do that very often because one day it'll rain, next day it looks sunny, and then it rains again. Especially right now, we're in that season, right? Waiting for it to dry up, and when it dries up, it dries up. But I could adopt that lifestyle. In fact, Pastor, don't we need a satellite church in Destin, Florida? I think we do. A lot of us would be heading that way, and that wouldn't be good because we need you here. Amen? But the image that brand gives a beach lifestyle. And if you don't see that sticker on the, like I said, on the back of your vehicle, you'll see it when you go home tonight. But here in good old Arkansas, and us Arkansans, we're not going to see any beach anytime soon. And no, Beaver Lake does not count as a beach. But church, you and I are called to live the salt life. Amen? We are called, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, we are called to live a salt life. Jesus says here in our text, "You are the salt of the earth." First question tonight is, who is you? Does that sound right? That sounds kind of Arkansan. Who is you? The question is, who is you? Who is Jesus saying you is? Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's me."
That's me.
Okay, you're going to have to participate with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's me."
That's me.
Now turn to your neighbor and say, "That's you." That's everybody here tonight. That covers everybody. That's us, church. That's the body of Christ. That's us Christians. That's us followers of Christ. We are the salt. We are the ones that Jesus is saying, you are the salt. We're the ones that Jesus is saying, we are the salt in this world. It's us that are the salt, church. We may agree on a lot of things tonight, and we may disagree on a few things tonight. Amen? Not all of us, we're not robots. We all have opinions and differences, even as Christians. We have differences and opinions. Some of us, unfortunately, are OU fans. Brother Kelby, not to mention any names. We've been trying to get him saved and turned into an Arkansas Razorback for years. And it's not working. We need more prayer and fasting. Jesus said this coming out by prayer and fasting. I love you, Brother Kelby. One of these days, he's going to see the light. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm not. No, I ain't. We all can agree that this world is messed up. Amen? Anything we've learned the last 2 years is that some people need some salt in this world. Amen? Right. And we have that salt because we're the salt. Mm-hmm. We need to be that living, that salt life every day. Not just here at church, but when we step outside these four walls. Okay. This church is a building, and we're the church. Us the people, we're the church. And when we step outside of those walls, of these doors, whatever it is, we are to be the salt church. We need to be living that salt life. We need to be drawing people to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be living that lifestyle and that doesn't lose its flavor. Because when salt loses its flavor, what does Jesus says? Jesus says, it's no good. It's to be thrown out. Do you know what's wrong with our culture tonight, church? You look all around the world and the culture is horrible. Amen? The culture keeps getting worse and worse and worse. You look out at Hollywood. You look out anywhere, politics, whatever it is. Our culture is messed up. And it's getting worse day by day. But you know what happened to culture? Christians stopped engaging with the culture. Now, I didn't say we stopped or being like the culture. I said we stopped engaging like the culture. It seemed like 40 or 50 years ago, Christians just decided to come into the church building and not go out into the world and be the salt and light. Amen? We just decided we're going to come and we're going to shelter it down and bunker and wait until Jesus comes. But that's not what my Bible says to do. My Bible says to go out into the world. Amen?
Right.
Make ye disciples of men. Be ye fishers of men. We're supposed to go out and bring the lost into the church. Amen? And our culture is so messed up because Christians have stopped engaging. In other words, we've stopped being the salt. We stopped living that salt life to the world. We've stopped being who Jesus has called us to be.
Right.
You see, church, too many have lost their flavor in the church. And it's, like I said a while ago, Jesus said when you lose that flavor, when salt loses its flavor, it's no good, it's ineffective. Natural salt tonight, church, has a few properties. It's used for a lot of things. One of the things it's used for is healing. You ever had a wound and somebody rubs some salt in that wound and it burns like crazy?
Yeah.
But it actually begins to heal it because it has effect, it has properties and chemicals that allows the wound to heal. You ever had to gargle salt water with a sore throat? I used to hate that as a kid. When I had a sore throat, Mom would get some water, a cup of water with salt, and it'd make you gargle it. And it was horrible because sometimes you'd accidentally swallow it, and it was no good. But later on, your throat felt better because it has a healing property. Salt's also used to preserve food.
Right.
Old timers used to salt the meat to keep it from going bad.
Right.
Yes, and salt pork was something that ages upon ages ago they used, and they ate regularly because they didn't have refrigeration. And salt is used to make that preserve. It's a preservative. Amen?
Yes, sir.
But when I think of salt, I think of being thirsty. And let me explain tonight. You've heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Amen? Yeah. Everybody's heard that.
Mm-hmm.
You can lead a horse to water, you can't force him to drink. But you know what you can do? You can fill its oats with salt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that does?
Makes him drink.
Makes him thirsty. You see, church, we can take the world and the culture and we can lead them to Jesus, but we can't make them drink because we can't force them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can make them thirsty. We can make them thirsty.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Why do you think they sell ginormous Cokes at the movie theater? Because they sell you a ginormous box of popcorn, right? Because you're thirsty. You sit there and watch the movie, the flick, and I learned a long time ago not to buy that stuff because it's expensive. And when you have five kids, you can't go to the movies and buy popcorn and you tell them you load up on supper and deal with it. Paying for your movie. Enjoy that. But they sell that because you're thirsty. By the time you eat all that popcorn and you need that big old Coke to drink down because you're thirsty. And then they charge you king's ransom for it. But church, we can't make the culture drink the living waters of Jesus, but we can make them thirsty for him.
Right.
We can't force them, but we can make them thirsty.
Good.
Or just like that horse, you can't force it to drink. But if you fill its oats with salt, it's going to get thirsty. And when you're thirsty, you're going to drink. You're going to look for a source. Amen?
Yeah.
We can engage with the culture by being the salt light, showing the world the light of Jesus. Have you ever ate a bunch of pizza? I know you have. And you ever get a bunch of pizza and then about an hour later you're so thirsty you can't see straight? Man, you especially late on, maybe on a Friday night. Friday night's a good pizza night. I don't know what it is. Friday night, pizza, a movie at home. That's just a good formula. But you eat a bunch of pizza and about an hour later you can drink a whole liter of Coke Zero. At least I can. Thirsty. You know why that is? Because there's a lot of sodium in pizza. A lot of sodium in what we eat. But I read an article that said that most pizzas have 2 times the sodium intake that is recommended by our government for daily allowance. The last 2 years, I don't know if I can trust our government on anything, amen? I'm going to still eat some pizza. But there's a reason why it makes you thirsty. It's because there's a lot of salt in it.
Yeah.
And church, if we want to make the world drink from the living waters of Jesus, we got to make them thirsty.
Yeah.
We got to be that salt. We got to make them want something. We want to make them want what we have. We see, we have the cure. We have the cure to the world's problems, and it's Jesus.
Yeah.
We have the cure to the virus called sin, and it's Jesus.
Yes.
But are we making them thirsty that they want to drink from the living waters?
Yes, sir.
The reason we need something to drink after we eat pizza or popcorn or bag of chips or even a pretzel is because of the sodium, the salt. And church, the world needs to thirst for Jesus. The world is thirsty.
Yeah.
Right now it's thirsty, but it's not thirsty for Jesus.
Right.
You see, Satan has done a good job making the world be thirsty for his antics and before his things.
Yeah.
And the world is drinking from his fountain. But church, that fountain dries up, amen? That fountain only has a season. And that season, the Bible says, will end. And when it does, then they'll become looking for something that they need, the life source. And that life source is the living waters of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The world is thirsty tonight, church. And sometimes, if I'm honest tonight, church, can I get honest with you tonight?
Cool.
Sometimes, if I'm honest, I don't want to give the world, I don't want to make them thirsty. Let me explain tonight. When I go out of these doors, sometimes a Monday morning hits and I begin to rub elbows with my co-workers and the world begins to rub on me. Are you following me?
Come on.
I begin to watch the news. And I don't watch CNN or MSNBC or those, but you see a clip of them and they're spilling out their opinion and their hate. And you just want to reach through that TV and slap them silly because they're so far left that it's not even right. Amen?
Yeah.
You watch the Hollywood elites that get up there not the Grammys, they do that too, but the Oscars, and they shout out their propaganda because they're Hollywood, and they think they know what the real people feel like they're going through, and they don't. Or when I'm standing in line at Casey's trying to get my Coke Zero refill from the soda fountain, and the guy in front of me is buying 5 lottery tickets, and he can't figure out which one he wants, why don't they make another line for the lottery and cigarettes? Instead, it's always me have to sit behind him, 2 or 3 people, while he picks it out and he can't pick out which one he wants. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't want to be that salt, or I don't want to make the world thirsty. And I admit, I don't want to make them thirsty at that moment. I want to say, you know what? I'll take care of your lottery ticket for you. You don't need to be buying one. Anyways. But then that's my flesh, man. That's my flesh man says, I'm just sick of this world. I'm sick of their propaganda. I'm sick of what's coming out of Washington. I'm sick of what my coworkers are saying. I try to be a witness, and I'm sick of it. Just let them live the way they want to live. I'll live my way. But then my spirit man kicks in. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Sometimes he just slaps you across the head, amen?
Yeah.
And when he does that, he says, Jesus has called me to be the salt. I'm the one to be the salt, to get in there and rub them, not the wrong way, but make them thirsty.
Yeah.
Make them thirsty.
That's good, brother.
Am I doing something to make that person in front of me see Jesus instead of buying lottery tickets? He's going to want to know who Jesus is and come closer to him. You see, church, we're all guilty of that. The church is guilty of that. What are we doing about it tonight? Are we living the salt life? You see, church, once the world has an encounter with Jesus, they change. You remember what happened when you had an encounter with Jesus. You change your life radically.
Right.
And that's what Jesus does tonight. And the only way people are going to know how to do that is if we're the salt, if we're that light of Jesus and showing them the way. Sometimes folks don't even realize that they're thirsty when they really are.
Right.
Turn with me tonight to the book of John, chapter 4. Sometimes the world doesn't even realize what they're thirsty for. John chapter 4, I'm going to read a few verses tonight. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making them more disciples than John. If I'm having trouble reading here, it's because I can't see very good. I'm going to have to get some glasses. I'm going to have to admit my age. Maybe this will help. Although Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea, returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tried. See, I told you. It's getting bad. Tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had come into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who would be speaking to you, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Verse 11, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and animals enjoy?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh, bubbling spring within there and given eternal life." You see, this woman, she set out that day as just another ordinary day. That was her job, to go out and at the well and to gather well and water for her family. And as she went that day, she had an encounter with Jesus. She realized that she knew she needed physical water for her family and whatever they needed that to do to get by. She was not realizing she needed spiritual water, but Jesus knew exactly what she did, what she needed. Church, I'm thankful tonight that the Lord knows exactly what we need, amen? Even when we don't know it. And she didn't know that, but she realized as she came across the Master, and he spoke to her and asked her to draw the water out. And she said, "I can't do it." And he told her, "You need the living water." And he began to explain to her. And she began to explain that who she was. And she had tried everything. She had tried five marriages. It was five marriages. And she was on the sixth. Wasn't a marriage, but she was shacked up with somebody, trying to play marriage. And here she was. She was drinking from another well. And it wasn't working out too well.
Yeah.
But Jesus had the living water. Church, the world's drinking from another well. Sometimes they don't realize it. And it's you and I tonight to come by and tell them in the love of Jesus that they need to be thirsty and drinking from the well of the living waters. Amen?
Amen.
David wrote in Psalms 34 and 8, as that's coming up on there, talking about all this water, I've got to have a drink. It's a good promotion, amen, for a water.
Yeah.
This preaching is making me thirsty. David wrote in Psalms 34 and 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him." See, church, salt makes things taste better.
Right.
Amen. I'm no cook by any expert. I can grill, and that's about it. But I do know that if you're cooking and something's bland, throw a little salt in it, taste it, it gets a little bit better. Amen.
Yeah.
Our culture needs to taste and see that the Lord is good. What they're eating from is bland.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be that salt that makes life a little bit better.
Yeah.
And if we have Jesus, it's going to. Amen?
Amen.
Do they see the salt in man? They are thirsty. Do they see the salt and they see our lifestyle and they want to come to Jesus? Or do they see bitterness?
Come on.
Do they have a bitter taste in their mouth? Do they taste Jesus through us? Or do they taste bitterness and they want nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
See, church, we have to engage the culture tonight.
Yes.
When something tastes good, you want more of it. Amen?
Right.
I mean, look at America. We have an obesity problem. The stuff tastes good like it never tasted before. Amen? There's a reason why it tastes good. When something tastes good, your taste buds go crazy. All of us have something that we just absolutely love to eat. For me, when I taste a piece of New York style cheesecake, it doesn't have to have no topping on it. It just has to be tall New York style cheesecake. It's like the Star Spangled Banner going off in my mouth. Bombs bursting in air. Amen. It's a delight. And you know it, don't lie, because you have that food too. Amen. I'm pretty sure that cheesecake is on the dessert menu in the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I know it. I've been talking to the Lord. Can't wait to get there. But the same thing happens tonight, church, when we taste the goodness of God.
Yes.
That's why I love the song that Brother Chris sings from the Bethel music worship team out there. God is so good to us. And when you taste and see that God is good, it's just like biting into that piece of cheesecake or whatever your favorite food is, and your taste buds just go hallelujah, and the choirs open up. When you taste God and you see that He's good, man, you just want to share Him with somebody else.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
When God is good and He is good and He's been good to you, you just want to go talk to other people.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's what the salt goes out into the world. It begins to tell other people, hey, like the woman at the well said, come and see a man that told me everything that knew everything about me. You begin to tell other people. You begin to be that salt. And you begin to make people thirsty. People begin to say, you know, there's something different about those people that go to Trinity in Siloam Springs. There's something different about those Pentecostals or those Christians. Denominations don't really matter. And it's something wants. I'm thirsty for that. I'm hungry for that. You see, I've lived my lifestyle sin, and I've come to the end of my road, and I did this same thing over and over again, and that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, trying to get different results. We're getting the same results. In church, they're tired and worn out, and you and I have that answer. You and I have the living water, and that's what effective salt is into the world.
Yeah.
Living the salt life tonight. Just like that logo suggests, when you've seen that, most of you saw that and knew exactly what that was. That represented the beach, that it represented a vacation, that it represented fishing, that it represented a laid-back lifestyle. You've seen it, and you knew exactly what it was. When people see you, do they know exactly who you are and who you represent?
Yes.
When they see you, do they see Jesus? Do they see Jesus? Do they see a loving heart, a loving friend, a loving person that will point them? Are you making them thirsty? Church, it's not a church thing. It's not a political party, and it's not a new fad. It's 24/7, 365 until Jesus comes back.
Yes.
That's the salt life.
Yeah.
That's living a salt life. It's not a fad. It's not a church thing. It's being real to the world. It's a bit about being His hands and feet into a thirsty world. And the formula for that is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. And I wrote this down in my notes so I can read. It's bigger, so I can read that to you with no problem, hopefully. Verse 35 says, "For I was hungry, and you fed me, and I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink, and I was a stranger, and you invited me into your house. Verse 36, I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me, and I was in prison, and you visited me." Verse 37, "Then those righteousness will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?" And verse 38 says, "Oh, a stranger, and showed you hospitality, naked and gave you clothing. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Verse 40, and the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me."
Yes, sir.
That's salt, church. That's living a salt life right there. That's what Jesus gave the formula for. And in closing tonight, if you'll stand with me. Are you Jesus? I'll tell you a story that I heard. There was three businessmen in Chicago. They'd been on a business trip. They were coming back home. The business meeting had lasted a little bit longer. You know, sometimes those meetings don't always at work last like after COVID, right? It lasts a little bit longer. These three men, the meeting went over. They had to rush to the airport. They wanted to make it home on Friday night to their families as they rushed through the airport to try to make it to the gate as their plane was boarding, and they were calling out the final gate the plane was boarding. As they were rushing through the crowds, they bumped into a young lady that was selling apples with an apple cart, and they knocked her over, and apples spilled everywhere. Imagine we run into a bunch of apples and it just spills everywhere. Still late and had to make their flight, they continued on. One of the men, though, began to feel convicted. He turned to his two other fellows and he said, "I'm going to catch another flight, you guys go on." He went back to where the young lady was, and she was on the ground, scrambling, trying to pick up all her apples. He knelt down and began to pick her apples up with her. As he was down there, kneeling down, he seen that she was blind. She couldn't see. He began to pick them up, and he got the last one onto her apple cart. And she said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" I'm trying to get this out without crying.
Okay.
She said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure, what is it?" She said, "Are you Jesus?" Think about that, church.
Yeah.
She couldn't see. But she knew somebody was helping her.
Yeah.
She had heard about Jesus. Church, are you Jesus tonight? You're not Jesus. That don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But is Jesus living through you? That you're touching a world that doesn't see. Do they see Jesus when they see you? Are you the salt tonight? Will you bow your heads with me?